Strap yourself in, because we're set up, switched on, and ready to go.
You are watching and listening to Chris and Lester Till I Die TV on YouTube
and your favorite podcasts.
Lester Till I Die TV, your first choice for everything Leicester City.
Tune in
and join in now.
Hi everybody, Jerry Taggart here. Now be sure to watch Chris and Lester Till I Die TV by subscribing on YouTube and following them on social media for all the latest Leicester City news and information. Come on, you foxes!
Are you ready? I'm saying, are you ready?
Six, five, four, three, two, one.
Hello.
Hello, fellow Fox fans. How the devil are you? Welcome along. An extra little preview show tonight. I thought I'd whet your appetite and give you a double dose of Craig this week, just to cheer us up. What more could we want after us? How are you feeling anyway? Are you feeling any better? Are you going to ask me? Am I feeling any? Is it Dermot Gallagher, the referee that does his opinions afterwards? The penalty should not have stood, but he thought both offsides were. It's all about opinions. That's football for you. It's Leicester Till I Die. How the devil are you? You can catch us on the old YouTube. On Leicester Till I Die TV. If you're not watching us on there, nip over, please. Give us a sub and give us a like as well, because it all helps the channel grow and the channel build. Facebook, Leicester Till I Die, the group, and on Twitter, at Leicester TID. And if you prefer to watch listen to us rather than watch us, and as I always say, don't blame you at all. Well, for one of us, maybe. But you can catch us about 10 minutes after the show finishes on the old Amazon podcast, Spotify, Apple iTunes, Google Podcast Addict, and Anchor, to name but six. And if you are listening into us rather than watching us, a very good evening. How the devil are you to all you listeners out there in podcast land, as they say? Hey, it is the preview show.
It's the Premier League preview show
with Chris and Craig on Leicester Till I Die TV on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter.
Let's bring him in and say good evening to the quizmaster himself, Craig. How are you?
I'm good, thanks, Chris. How are you?
I think I know how you are. You know how I am. My therapist says I've got to talk about it because it's good to get it off my chest.
Well, I've chosen my mug, my tea mug today, particularly for you. There you go.
Yes, but the thing is, somebody bought you that. That's the thing. You say,
yeah.
No, and I am going to mention it because Dermot Gallagher has come out and said that it wasn't a penalty. You know, looking at that, the guy was sort of, it's more like a scene from WWE than Premier League football. But I was called, and I'm saying that VAR, it's not that VAR is not fit for purpose, it's the people that operate VAR that are not fit for purpose. Because how you couldn't see that, Alan Shearer and Dion Dublin, two ex-players on Match of the Day too, who get to see the same camera angles that the VAR people do, said it wasn't a penalty.
Yeah.
Queried one of the offsides. So why can't they? I'm suggesting that ex-footballers from sort of maybe, you know, tier three, tier four, even sort of tier five, should be offered these sort of jobs because they're footballers and they know a little bit more about the game. They haven't sort of, you know, watched it on Match of the Day like these guys have. Would you, do you think that's a good idea?
Yeah, I think it's been mentioned a few times, Chris, and I know it's tough for me to start the program off by agreeing with you, but I'm going to.
yes, at last.
but you're right. I mean, you know, they're looking for different things. They've got more of an idea of whether people have initiated contact for penalties, for instance.
Yes.
But that, I mean, a sort of monkey in a lab or something, you would have thought, just put that in front of him, would have been able to see that, that he'd grabbed his arm and pulled him down. And your natural reaction is that your other arm goes up to try and steady yourself. So
yes,
it was a ridiculous, absolutely ridiculous decision. I know the other two are a little bit more contentious, but that one, and that set the tone for the game, really. You're one behind and then you're chasing the game.
In fairness, we had like a first very good 10 minutes and then we did let Brighton totally dominate until about the 60th minute when it was kind of, you know, we always seem to be doing that at Leicester, don't we? We seem to sort of play very well, trying to get back into from a losing position.
I think the problem is because we want to play this, we want to play this possession-based football, that it comes from the back and it's slow. So you start the game, you know, you can keep possession. Possession, you know, we all know that the stats mean nothing because you can pass it around the back line until kingdom come, you know, and you've got 90% possession. Doesn't count for anything. Yeah. So because we come out with that, we rarely start the game quickly. And therefore, if we go a goal behind, we've then got to try and somehow claw our way back into it. And then it's like, you know, the chains come off a little bit and we go out and play the attacking football that we can. But we seem to be, I say we, you know, Brendan seems to be obsessed with this possession football from the off, and it's all about getting control of the game. How about going and getting two or three goals up in the first 15 minutes? That would be nice.
It would be. Peter Hines, good evening, sir. How the devil are you? No more swearing, please, Chris. I'm surprised YouTube haven't taken those videos down. I may have used a few swear words. But I was okay. The VAR ref was, of course, Peter Banks, and I'm sure he spelled his name wrong. But Yeti Boy, good evening. Welcome along, sir. How the devil are you? At least there's no VAR for this match. You see, this is what I don't get. You know, you've started me off again now, Yeti. Is that if this was being played at the King Power, I believe we would have VAR. But because it's at Millwall, obviously they haven't got that set up, and I understand that we don't have it. So surely it should be turned off for every game. And I said this last season.
I thought they had it, but all the security cameras had been smashed. maybe I've just got a bad opinion of Millwall fans. I don't know.
You may well.
But you're right. I mean, it makes no sense. It should be the same rules for the whole competition. You know, the FA Cup and the League Cup should all be without VAR for me, because you know you're starting a competition in the lower leagues. None of them have it, and as you say, people can get an advantage, particularly the way that we've seen VAR being refereed. So for me, it's either all or nothing.
I mean, Norwich are hosting Liverpool tonight, so there's going to be VAR for that one. Yeah. So if, you know, it's a contentious penalty, it will be checked and not given, but it will then be checked by VAR. Nothing to say that they'll get it right, of course. Mm-hmm. But of course, if the same happens in our game, or for example, QPR hosting Everton tonight, it wouldn't go to VAR. And to me, that's giving certain teams, like I say, a disadvantage.
You're right. I mean, you're right. You know, as you say, in that Liverpool Norwich game, there's bound to be a contentious decision. It'll get checked, and Liverpool will get a penalty. We know how it works.
Yes, yeah. And Dorco, good evening, sir. How the devil are you, sir? I blame Barnes. Why be in an offside position and VAR will look at it? If he'd got himself onside, both goals would have counted. I think maybe he's being told to get in that position by the referee, by Brendan Rodgers, to go and hassle the goalkeeper, and he probably just couldn't get back onside in time.
Yeah, Brendan said that. He said that he'd been asked to do that job, to just sort of stand there and block him coming out, because he's very dominant in the air from set pieces and he does like to come out and either catch or punch. So the idea was that he would stand there. And I think that they'd mentioned it with the second one, and he'd managed to get himself out of the line a little bit quicker. Mm. But obviously not quick enough for the likes of VAR, even though, you know, the angles, particularly on the second one, I can understand to a certain point. The first one, when you look at it, the angles look a little bit tight. But from the second one, there's clear shots of the keeper looking directly at the ball. Now, you could argue that if Barnes is there, the goalkeeper also has to take into account whether Barnes will go for it and get a touch. So if he makes any movement towards it, it's going to get offside. But yeah, if Barnes is blocking, as soon as the ball's kicked, he's got to be making his way back onside, or at least getting out of the way. So he'll learn from it, I'm sure, but it's a tough one to take.
It is. And like you say, looking at that second one, he wasn't in the line of, in the goalkeeper's eye line. And the thing as well, with the first one, the first thing that Sanchez, their goalkeeper, did was run up and arguing about not being able to get to the ball. With the second one, he didn't. He went straight in the net to pick the ball up, to kick it into the crowd annoyed. And that, to me, I think says it all.
Yeah, I'm a big believer in looking at players' reactions, and I'm surprised that referees and linesmen don't look at players' reactions enough, to be honest, because very often we know everybody will appeal for a corner or a throw-in, but very often, you know, if they know they've given a corner away, they will often go back into a defensive position to do it. And the same on that. Yeah, the keeper didn't do anything other than he was about to grab the ball and boot it into the stand because he was annoyed that he'd given an equaliser away. So I think the referees have got to be it. And again, that comes down to having ex-players on VAR, you know, looking for those kind of things.
It is what is needed, you know. And don't forget, I mean, I did point out, I don't know, maybe it was 10 years ago when you started this controversy.
You cannot be serious!
Yeah, maybe we should do that. Hey? Well, I mean, Man United have been doing that for years, haven't they, and getting their own way, surrounding the ref. Exactly. As I said, I know it annoyed you a little bit when I mentioned it in a chat the other day, but you know, we did get away with one with Norwich when that would have been an equaliser too, and in a similar situation. So that all swings around about. I think it was harder to take because we got three bad decisions in the same game.
I think that was it. But you know when I'm on a short fuse and you get your matches out ready to line it. But okay, that's gone. We are now coming up to the next game when I think I can actually put it to bed, do what my therapist said now, and let it go. And I won't burst into song. We've got a little matter of this tomorrow night. Totally not working at my end. I don't know if it's working at your end or not.
It did indeed. I saw everybody's favourite energy drink flashing before my very eyes.
Yes. Other energy drinks are available, of course.
They are indeed.
Millwall. A nice little friendly midweek trip to the smoke.
You know what? I've been to Millwall twice. For cup games. One was in the 80s at the old den down the appropriately named Coldblow Lane. And then I went to the one about 4 years ago when we got them in the FA Cup at the New Den.
Yes.
Both times they beat us. Both times their fans came on the pitch trying to get into the away end. You know, even winning isn't enough. You know, they've got to try and just scare the bejesus out of everybody who was there. I remember on the recent one as well, there was a guy there holding his young kid on his shoulder.
Yes,
as he was standing in front of the away fans giving them abuse. It's just ridiculous.
I think, you know, for Millwall, they won't be happy until they've merged WWE and, you know, for the fan, that will be the pre-match and half-time entertainment. They don't go for the match. They go for a fight, Millwall fans.
They do, but, I mean, it should be taken. You know, they say they're a community club, and I'm sure they are. So if you're in the community, you're safe. And if you're not, you're not. But, you know, the fact that our normal coach company who takes away fans down was refusing to go to travel as well due to the damage that the coaches have got on previous visits. You know,
yeah,
something, you know, has to be done about it. It happens all the time and nothing gets done.
Well, all I will say is that when the police won't move along these environmental get the country green and what have you, and a woman goes into a coma from a heart attack, I don't think the police are going to do anything against football hooligans, are they? But maybe
right.
That's just society as we live in now.
I am
the Piers Morgan of Leicester till I die here, and I don't matter.
Are you going to walk off?
I will. It don't upset me, and I will walk off. But just don't mention Megan. We're covering all the contentious topics tonight.
It's unlike us to digress.
It's not like us, is it? We'll get onto the Flashing Blade and kids' TV before the end of the show. You mentioned that the last time we played. How many of that team can you remember?
What, the team that we put out?
Yes. Because I'll bring it up in a minute, because I was a little bit surprised, I'm not going to lie.
I can remember a couple in particular. So Ben Chilwell, obviously, famously refusing to take throw-ins. He said because he had a bad wrist. Everyone else said he was scared of going near the Millwall fans. And I also remember it was a debut of Molly Wagyu.
I was going to test you on that one.
Well, I got him first. Yeah, but I think he got injured during that game. But he had a decent game. But yeah, I remember it, unfortunately, all too well, and a very, very late winner that they got.
Yeah. Molo Wagyu, whatever happened to him? Did we have him on loan or?
We had him on loan. He played that game. I'm not sure if he played anymore because he got injured. And then I'm sure he turned up somewhere last season. I can't remember if it was in the Championship or in Europe somewhere, but I did see his name mentioned. He was playing for somebody.
Yeah. Well, here we go. I'm going to stay here and let's bring that team up. I'm impressed that you you can name the one game that Wagyu got picked for. I think Claudio was kind of maybe not taking this totally seriously, because we've got in goal we had Ron Robert Zieler, your favourite goalkeeper. I'm sure he made the top five, didn't he, when you picked them?
No, I think he was in my top 43.
Was he? Just. Johan Benalou. No, to be honest with you, I never thought got a fair chance at Leicester.
most of the attackers didn't get a fair chance when he was playing either. He did like to kick a few. I think I remember him playing in a pre-season friendly a couple of seasons ago, and the manager was asked to take him off because of some wild lunge that he did.
He was at Forest, I think. I don't know if he still
is. Yeah, he was. He was. He did a good job there. Took them further down.
He certainly did. Chilwell, and obviously we mentioned Wagyu, or Wague or Waggy or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Daniel Amati made an appearance.
Yeah.
And now, here's a blast from the past.
Yeah.
Kapuska.
I've seen Kaputska play. I should have that on a t-shirt.
I was just going to say, can you not get the t-shirt for that?
Yeah. I've Andy seen Kaputska King, play old... and I've seen Musa score. That's a t-shirt in itself.
It is, isn't it? That would be, you'd have that framed and put on the wall.
I think so.
Obviously, Andy King, and Mendy there. Damari Gray, one of his rare starting lines. And Musa and Okazaki. I love Musa, but I think it was just me. I just don't think he was ever utilised to his best ability. And it was him the other day.
Yeah, he was the Patson Daka of his day, I think. Daka's going to get more chances than Musa got. But, you come to a new country, you've got to get a run of games. You know, he did well. There were some great finishes. It was the two goals that he scored away in the FA Cup at Everton.
He was dangerous.
But, we were stuck in that rigid formation of one up front. And if he did get a game, it was the rare one where we were resting Jamie, or he was played out of position on the left wing. So he never really got a fair crack.
He didn't. I was going to say, did you remember? I mean, I think I don't know if it was debut or not, but when we played Barcelona in the International Champions Cup or whatever it was, he scored two scorchers there. But like you say, he was put out on the wing, and it did actually worry me. Just to give you mentioned Daka there, that Brendan says that Daka can do a job on the wing, and I'm thinking, no, he's a striker, he's not a winger.
Yeah. The only way you can do that is if they play wide forwards rather than wingers, the same way that Liverpool do it with Salah and Mane. So they don't hug the touchline, they play slightly in, but they join in quickly. But I don't think Brendan ever likes that. He likes his wingers to, go wide when we've got the ball. So I'm not sure it would work with Daka.
No. Obviously, good old Sinji there. Everybody's everybody's favourite number 10. Substitutions, or Brighton coming on for Kaputska. Mm. Wazaleski coming on for Wagyu.
That was the injury.
Yeah, and Jamie Vardy for Damari Gray, but we lost it. I think it was the 90th minute.
Yeah, it was. I think they played a little 1-2 or something. Somebody didn't track him back, and decent finish, and that was it. And not good.
I mean, we've got them now. It's the Caribou Cup, and somebody said to me on the show the other day that they put a post up saying, like, would I worry if we got knocked out the Caribou Cup? And I suppose out of everything we're in, if we had to go out of one, this is the one that I could live without. But I wouldn't be pleased that we'd gone out to Millwall, to a Championship club.
No, I was listening to, TalkSport had this debate on the way, but I heard it on the way back from work today about, it was basically, can we save it? How important is it? And I think it is important. And in many ways, you could say that it's becoming more and more important, because Premier League teams have to have a 23-man squad. There are the teams that are in Europe who sort of rotate a little bit. But this is an opportunity for you to rotate and give players more game time. You can't say, come into the club, you will get games, and then the bigger clubs decide to get rid of one of the two cup competitions. I mean, that, for me, that's not going to work. They were also mooting ideas about whether it should become a British cup or whatever. Maybe that's for another show, probably. But I think it's important. And you will always have a ranking of your cup competitions, in what order do you want to win them. Yeah. But if you could say to me now, we'll have another day out at Wembley and win a cup, then I'll take it. Thank you very much.
And Man City take it seriously every season.
They won four or five in a row, I think, or they're going for five in a row.
Yeah. What gets me with modern-day football is, like you said then, we've got this huge squad, whatever, this 24-man or whatever it was squad, but we don't have any reserve team games. So you've got the likes of, let's say, Samari, the likes of Luke Thomas, Daka, that when they're not being picked and they're not sort of regular starters because of who's in those positions, that they're not getting any game time as such, and it's not the same on the training field. No. But when we had reserve teams and reserve leagues, they were playing with the teammates. They were, you know, and you can sometimes see it when a ball is passed through to a gap because nobody's there because they don't know that Jamie Vardy's run the other way like he normally does because they don't play with him regularly. Yeah. And it annoys me that we don't have that reserve team football now.
No, I agree. I think you mentioned that a couple of times. And I'm surprised, to be honest, that, you know, a TV company hasn't suggested it, you know, as another way to get more viewings, even if it's early evenings on a midweek or something, you would think they'd find a gap for it in the schedule. But as I say, because that doesn't exist, the Carabao Cup probably takes on more importance than it has done for a few years because the depth in squads, the depth of talent in squads these days needs to play competitive football. And you will get, you know, you will get decent lineups in a lot of these, even though players are being rested, the squads are deeper. So you're still going to get a lot of players that you see. Yeah. Also, I'm going to say it's really important for the lower league clubs as well. We've seen a number of them sort of almost go to the wall. This is a big thing. And if you draw a big club at home, you're going to get a good turnout. You're going to get a good payday, even if you go away. And who cares if they don't put all their stars out? I remember a few years ago watching, I think it was MK Dons beat Man United 4-1 because Man United had rested a few. I don't think that any MK Dons fans cared a jot who was on the pitch. They'd just beaten Man U 4-1. So I don't like the thought of taking these opportunities away.
That's what will go down in the record book, isn't it?
Exactly, you know? Exactly.
Yes, yeah. And when you said lower league clubs that are sort of struggling financially, you were, of course, referring to Derby County.
Indeed. Poor old Derby Forest. I saw Reading, I think, are going to get some points docked as well. So it's a tough time. And these are all teams who not that long ago were playing in the top division. So it always is there, but for the greater good. You know,
And we have to remember that. And when I have sort of a bit of banter with the Arsenal fans, you know, I'm saying, like, you don't know what it's like to have a bad season. You seriously don't. You know, 10th or whatever it was not a bad season. Mm-hmm. But to them, obviously, it was. And can I just say, all joking aside, because I do, you know, think of Derby, Forest, Coventry, those three being our main rivals. I know the rivals, but I wouldn't wish going out of business on any club because we've been there. We know what it's like. And, you know, if we'd lost Leicester as a club, you can't just go and start supporting another club and switch your allegiance.
Of course you can't. Most of the players will go and get a job somewhere else, but it's the people, it's the backroom staff. And I think there was a meeting going on today at Derby where the owner was addressing all the backroom staff. They're the ones who are going to be losing their jobs. Fans will support the club, whatever division they're in. So they're in it. You know, if you're a fan, you're usually a fan for life, no matter what happens. So, yeah, as much as we like to have a little laugh at them and if they want to go down to League Two, that's fine. But, yeah, we don't want them going out of business because at the end of it, we're all football fans and we all want our clubs around.
We do. And to be honest with you, all I will say is, look at when our chairman passed and you had Derby, you had Forest scarves on there. You know, I could say to me, the rivalry is there and that's what it should be. But I do really, really hope that if they go down a league, great. I'll enjoy that and I'll laugh at that. But I don't want to see them go out of business. No. Terry says there, the broadcasters have made their minds up about the Carabao. None of the overseas broadcasters are streaming it, but they do the FA Cup. The FA Cup is traditionally the big cup. I mean, it's worldwide, isn't it? Dorco? Leicester are good at wasting good players. Hope Daco is not going to be another Karamach. I like Karamach. I like Karamach as well. It's one of my favourite confectionery bars. Kramaric. You know what I'm like with my foreign players. I like Kramaric, and I thought it was a shame we lost him because when he came on, he actually looked like he wanted to score.
I think it was the right man under the wrong manager, to be honest. Yes. He would have fitted in perfectly in this. You know, he had great feet and, yeah, he was a really good player, and it's a shame that he didn't get a chance for us.
Yeah. Are Sky Terran showing all the games or some of the games? Or
I think they're just showing, I think it's Man United, West Ham. I think they're showing tomorrow. There might be one on tonight. I think there's a roundup program on one of the channels, but as you say, you know, they're cramming it with so much football these days. BT and Sky between them are picking up Italian football, French football. The women's game is getting more prominent now. Yes. It's probably difficult to fit any more football in.
Don't forget, we, you know, Quest for the EFL. Mm-hmm. And I think Quest, you know, if I remember last season, I think they show the highlights.
Yeah, I think you're right. That rings a bell. I think they've got it this year as well.
Yeah, which is part, obviously, Quest is part of the Discovery Channel group who covered the Olympics this year.
They did, yeah.
But is it important for us? Because we've had a bad start to the season, and it's starting to kind of worry me a little bit, because when I looked at the fixtures, apart from Man City, we had teams there, and I thought we could get off to a really, really good start here. West Ham was annoying because we should have known better, because they did that to us twice last year, so we should have learnt our lesson, and we hadn't. Norwich and Wolves, our two wins, we were lucky, to be honest with you, to come away with 6 points from those two games. And, of course, Brighton, you know, beat us. Although, you know, when you're playing the ref and the VAR as well, it's difficult. Oh, don't start me again. But looking at it, I say Man City is probably, as we often say, is a bit of a give. We need to start winning. Winning breeds confidence. Does that make this game a little bit more important?
I think at the moment, every game is important. I think what it will be very important for the players who are pushing to get themselves a start in the first team. Mm. You know, we'll come on to the, you know, potential team and players in a little while. But, you know, we've had it so many times, though, in this, you know, that a team will get changed. And how often do we sit back afterwards and say, well, nobody took their opportunity. Nobody took the chance that was given to push it. You know, but we know now that there's a greater depth in the squad. There should be players there who should be chomping at the bit to get a start. And it is up to them to take the chance.
I mean, when you look at the Napoli game, I mean, when you look at the bench, I'm thinking, wow, this is probably the best squad. If you like, we've been screaming out for years, we need the depth, we need a backup for Jamie. You know, we need these extra players. We've got them now. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we've got a few injuries in the defence, but nothing like it was last season. Mm-hmm. There's no excuse if we go out, is there?
No, there can't be an excuse, particularly when you look at Millwall's start to the scene as well. They've already been pulling up any trees. I think they've drawn 5 of their games. They've kept 1 clean sheet, which is, you know, the same as us. That's a little bit worrying that we're not keeping clean sheets. But they've not done anything. They've won 2 games out of their 8. They're languishing, I would say, in the bottom quarter of the championship. So there is no excuse for us to not put out a strong team.
Yeah, sitting there in 18th, they have played more games, as you say, than us. But 18th isn't safe by any means. Although I think the bottom teams there in that group in that league are going to get cut adrift quite quickly, a la Norwich in the Premier League. But you know that they've conceded 10 goals. Like I said, they've only won 1 game, but they've drawn 5. I don't think it's I think it's penalties tonight, isn't it? I don't think there's a replay on.
No, I think it goes straight to penalties. Yeah.
And the form here, you know, I mean, again, like we've just said, you know, the last 4 games with 3 draws, and they beat Millwall beat Blackpool. Easy for me to say, but Blackpool were down to 10 men, so they're not on a good run. And you know, you can look back at, you know, dare I mention Newport County, you know, and you look at the players that turned out for us. And like you say, you know, in that game, we get there as well, Benelou and whatever, you know, you sometimes look at these players and think, maybe, you know. But when you come to think that, you know, we could have starters for like Samari, Daka, you know, I don't think there's an excuse. And I think if we lose tomorrow night with the start we've had, and don't get me wrong, I'm not going to sit here and go like Brendan out or anything like that. Of course I'm not. But even though he's been linked with Man City today, obviously when Pep goes, but I just think the pressure's going to be ramped up that little bit.
I think you're right. I think the biggest challenge we will have tomorrow is attitude, not the quality of the players, because the quality should speak for itself, but it'll be attitude. Gary Rowett likes his teams to be physical. You know, they were team shaped in his own style of when he was a player. You know, he played for us for a few years.
Yes, indeed.
Very physical player. In front of a vociferous home crowd, Millwall, who will see it as an opportunity to get a scalp, you know, to knock out the FA Cup holders. So it's going to be a physical battle, you know, and it is that cliche of you have to earn your right to play your football. So we've got to meet the physical battle first and win that one. And if we do that, then I fully expect our quality to shine through. But we definitely need to be prepared for a physical battle.
Oh, I think so. Good evening, Hayden, the Leicester Fox. How the devil are you, sir? Hi, good evening. Words and pictures. Good evening. I'm guessing you're a West Ham fan. Welcome along. You're more than welcome. You can come and join us at West Ham. We'll look after you. Maybe when you get new owners. I think that was referring to if Leicester obviously ever go out of business.
Yeah.
And Terry, he said last week we had old TV program. Please not get onto chocolate bars this week. I hope you Google Flashing Blade. We talked about that, Craig. Did you go off and Google it?
I did. No, I didn't. As I told you, I was not putting the words flashing and blade into Google. I just had this vision of a naked, fat Sheffield United fan, and that would not go away. So the words flashing and blade did not go into my Google search.
Oh, you never mind. I'll send you a link, and then you know.
Yeah, do that. It's probably safer.
It's safe. But having said that, what is your favourite chocolate? No. We'll leave that. We'll leave that for now. I want to ask you, because I mentioned this yesterday. The last two seasons, we've had some, you know, since the title win, it's been great to be a Leicester fan. But the last two seasons, we started off really well. At this stage, last two seasons, we were fourth and fifth, respectively. Yeah. Now we're 12th. So the last two seasons, we spent the whole season looking back over our shoulder at who's coming up behind us.
Yeah.
This year, it looks like it's going to be a role reversal, and we're the ones that are going to be coming up behind, which may just take the pressure off. Because again, if we'd have been, you know, had a great start, been top four from the word go, and again for a third season, we didn't, you know, end up in the Champions League, which I think we will struggle for this season with the four teams there. But do you think that might be better for us coming from behind rather than watching who's coming up behind us?
Well, I think it may be. I mean, Brendan's not been in that position since he's joined us, really. We've kicked on and we've started the season really well, as you've said, so we've not really had to do that. I mean, we've got a stronger squad, definitely. So it is a case of almost try and keep the faith. We look at Man City last season. I think after their first five games, they were well off the pace and then came through and stormed it. Now, I'm not going to say that we're going to do that, because I agree with you. I still think we're quite a way off top four this season. Everybody's strengthened. You know, Manu brought in Ronaldo. Chelsea got Lukaku on top of the team that they had previously that finished in the top four. So I think if anything, it's going to be even harder for anybody to break that traditional top four this season.
Apparently we are in talks with Gary Lineker, by the way.
Sorry?
We are in talks with Gary Lineker about coming back. Man United can get Ronaldo.
Yeah, it is going to be tough, which means the cup competitions and including the Europa League are going to be more and more important for us. I think, yes, you want to be up there and qualifying for next season's European competition through a league place. But the cup competition is going to be really important for us for trying to get back into Europe. And you've got to put consecutive seasons in Europe into place for you to be considered a big club. You know, you can't be doing it, we're in once, we're out two seasons, we're in again. You know, it's got to be consecutive seasons that we're in there. So Brendan's got a challenge on his hand, but I think he knows that, and he's come out in a few interviews and said that it's up to him to get the balance right. And I think he's struggling a little bit at the minute because I think he wanted to get Barnes back in, and Barnes has sort of flattered to deceive a little bit. And because of that, the formation has changed from what worked last season. So, it's tough for Brendan, and he needs to find a solution, but he needs to find it quick.
I think you make the very good point there about consistency. I mean, just looking at the table, one of the most consistent teams is Brighton, who are once again are showing me I know absolutely nothing about football when I said they were punching above their weight and this season they'll probably go down. Shows what I know. I mean, the most consistent team is Norwich, but for the wrong reasons. But you look at that table, and once you drop below Man City, nobody is getting a run together of any description. Southampton have had four draws. You know, it's that is going to be the difficult bit. Hayden thinks that it'll be a tough game. Facebook user, don't know, what do you think of this? I mean, he's put here, the way we are playing, we'll be lucky to get top 10. Is that a bit harsh, or is that reality?
Well, no, I think, if you're going on the way we're playing, then yes, you're right. The way we're playing at the moment won't be good enough to get top 10, but you would hope that we would improve. You know, we've seen little flashes, little pockets. You know, we had probably 35 minutes against Brighton whereby we were excellent. You know, we pinned them in, we created a hell of a lot of chances, you know, and we were just unlucky with the decisions, but we created more chances. So the team is there. It's about getting the balance right. And Brenda's come out and said that the balance looked good when he brought Lookman on for Maddison. Him and Pereira worked really well. So if you start getting these little pairings, if you can do the same on the other side with Bertrand and Barnes, then you've got Pereira and Lookman. Maybe you get a bit more of a balance going and a bit more consistency. And I think I think he's tinkering a little bit at the minute, and he's not sure which way to go. But you're right, based on the level of performance now, top 10 would be a struggle.
JJ, I am well, and I believe Craig is as well. So, how the devil are you, sir? Terry says here, remember, Luke, Grealish, Ronaldo, etc., can all get injured. Yes, they can. So just like Fofana, Evans, etc. The Big Jinx says, where can I watch the game? Get in your car, drive down to London, park near the New Den, go down, because that's the only place you're going to see it live. Because I don't even think it is on some of the smaller streams. Let's just call them smaller streams, shall we, for legal premises. Now, it will be interesting to see, like I say, if we do come good. You were very, very clever before, because you got, when I tried to catch you out with Mr. Wagyu, you were very, very good on that. So, and I think I would be very surprised if you don't get this, but do you know what happened on this day in 2014?
I think you're probably referring to us beating Man United 5-3, Chris.
I certainly am.
Yeah, I mean, that was just a fantastic game. It was one of the best games ever. You know, the comeback of all comebacks, and the whole atmosphere in the ground that day was just fantastic. Yeah, memorable.
Good evening, Rob. How the devil are you, sir? It was sort of, the season kind of went downhill very quickly from that point onwards. But because we'd had a good start, but, and I always have to apologize to the woman that was next to me in that game when I ended up in her lap, because I don't know who she was, but and everybody was just cheering at the end when about the fourth and fifth went in, and it was certainly one of those I was there moments, wasn't it?
Ah, definitely. It'll live long in the memory.
Yeah. Now, of course, what we do is in these preview shows is we have a one to watch. Mm-hmm. When you've done very well this season so far in picking out players that do prove to be quite dangerous when they're players, Antonio. But you've gone for this gentleman. Now, you're going to have to tell me all about him, because I know nothing about this gentleman. And Mr. Jed Wallace, who plays for Millwall. And you're one to watch for this game.
He is, yeah. I mean, I can't be I can't lie and say I knew a lot about all of their team anyway. I haven't been watching them that closely, but I did do a little bit of research, as my I am contractually obliged to do.
Indeed,
for so. No payment. But yeah, I mean, looking at their team, he is an interesting one. He was in the PFA team of the year a few years ago, when he started out at Portsmouth, and then he got a decent move over to Wolves, but it didn't work for him. He was a winger at the time. He'd represented England at under 19 level, yeah, as I say, it didn't work out. So he had two loan spells at Millwall, and then eventually they made it. They made it a permanent move, but he's been switched. His position has been switched a little bit this season. So he was a winger, two-footed. He could play off either wing, very attacking minded, but he's been playing as a number, almost like a false nine, playing off a striker. And he's got in the goals this season. He scored three in his first five. He had a great goal scoring record in his very early days when he was in non-league. I think he scored something like 10 in 17 and then quickly got picked up by Portsmouth. So he's definitely got a bit of skill. He was nominated, I think. He may have even won goal of the month in the first month of this season for a free kick that he pinged in from 30 yards against Blackpool into the top corner. So he's got fantastic technique. And he already, he's out of contract this at the end of this season. And he's already been linked with moves to West Ham, Celtic and Rangers have all been sniffing around him. He is sort of 27, so he's been around a bit. But I think because of the change of position that he's had, it seems to have helped him. And he's having his best season so far for Millwall. But he looks like one of those players who, you know, likes to take the ball on and will go at us. And we have been caught out with players like that in the past. So he's definitely one that I think we need to keep an eye on.
Indeed. Well, we're going to have a bit of fun now. Not that the rest of it, of course, isn't fun. We're going to have a look at the possible lineup, which we used to do. We used to have Craig's team every week, but we're going to try and get this team right between us, which is probably going to be impossible. And while we're doing this as well, I also want you to think what your favorite chocolate bar is, because we're not missing that. We'll be right back after this. I'm a Twix man myself. What are you, Craig?
Are you? I would say if it had to be anything, I'm probably a flake out of the fridge. It has to be out of the fridge, though. Any Cadbury's
chocolate. Most chocolate has to be out of the fridge, doesn't it?
Exactly. Yeah. So I'd probably go with that. You could get round me with a Lion bar as well.
I have heard the rumours. Yeah. I'm going to be honest with you now, is the fact that most chocolate bars I will eat, but I do like the odd Twix. You know, I like to bite the caramel off the top first and then eat the biscuit separate. Is that rather sad of me? I don't know.
I think the sad part was the fact that you filmed it and put it on TikTok.
Don't hey, stop trying to be down with the kids pretending you watch TikTok. Right, okay, so here we go. let us have a look. Somebody said earlier about a team, and it was, in fact, the Big Jinx. He said earlier about the team. And Rob, this is very unfair. Fruit and nut to you two. I'll take being nutty if Craig takes being fruity.
Why not? Why not? I'll take anything.
You've been called a lot worse, haven't you? Let's be honest.
I have indeed, on a regular basis.
Yes. Right. So we're going to look at the team now. I think there's going to be, personally, before we start, we've gone for this formation because we did have a very quick chat before, but we have a feeling that Brendan might go for two up front.
I think so. I think I think he's got to get goals in this game, as you say. You don't want to be going to penalties, so you've got to score goals. And it worked last season, and I think certain players who I would probably put back in up front would work better in a two.
Yes, yes. And I didn't realise this. Apparently, I don't know if this is right, Terry says Husky Chocolate is their sponsor. I didn't even know Husky was a chocolate.
I did see the Husky dogs was across the front of their shirt, but I didn't know it was a chocolate bar, to be honest.
No, no, I just thought they were being sponsored by a breed of dog, to be honest with you. Right, so let's have a look at this team. Now, for me, I'm going to say we've got to give Danny Ward a chance here.
I think so.
I think we've got to give Casper a break. I mean, we know what Casper can do, and he's not missed a league game for so long. But I just think we've got to start giving him some game time. And he's never let us down.
He's not, and particularly in penalty shootouts in this competition. He's won a couple for us. Yeah. So, definitely Danny Ward, I think.
Yeah, you're not swayed towards Jokovic at all?
No, I mean, Jokovic, I think it's probably the second worst transfer for the individual player after Danny Drinkwater. Because, he's come in and basically, you know, he's hardly played a game, you know, and he's a very good keeper. He just doesn't get a chance.
I thought when old Mr. Ron, whatever he was called, left, I thought he would just be the number two because he was Hull's number one, wasn't he? But
he was,
And he's had the chance to leave, but he's signed a new contract again, so he's obviously happy doing what he's doing. And I can understand having three goalkeepers, because if Schmeichel was to get injured, you then got Danny Ward coming up. And I suppose, sometimes you can get caught out by having to go for youngsters. But Andrew says here, good evening, Andrew. How the devil are you, sir? Terry says it was chocolate on the shirt. Take a look at the picture again. Are you sure it was chocolate on Millwall's shirt and not poo? I didn't say that. Andrew says, any chocolate but Turkish delight. Do you like a bit of Turkish delight, Andrew?
I do like a bit of Turkish delight.
Again, let's not go there. That's for another show, Craig.
I'm not putting that into Google either.
Sorry?
I'm not putting that into Google either.
Oh, I can feel the visual coming now. Now, so we've gone for three at the back, haven't we? Which is like a five if we're defending, or a three if we're attacking.
Yeah.
What three are we going to go for at the back? We'll start with the centre of the back three.
I think this is going to be Vestergaard.
Right. Okay. Do you think, because Benkovic, I think, getting a run out tonight, actually, possibly in the under-23s, to the left of there?
Yeah, I think that will be Benkovic.
You do?
I do, and then Amati on the right. Yeah, the under-23s played last night.
Oh, was it last night?
Had a 3-1 win against Everton, and Benkovic played.
Right. Did he play the full 90?
I'm not sure if he did, to be honest, but...
So that's looking like a different back three. And I'm going to be honest with you here. I was a little bit upset about Benkovic, because not to be picked and then us to have two goalkeepers on the bench, because no matter how... And I don't think he's that bad. because he's won trophies, and I know it was Scotland, etc. But you could argue that he's been in the lower leagues, he's not played there. But as a defender, he knows more if we needed to bring a defender on than if we were having to bring a midfielder on to play at the back because of an injury or a sending off or whatever.
The only reasoning, I say not an excuse, the only reasoning I would say that I think when that happened, I think the transfer window was still open and it looked very much like he was going to get a move away. But then certain other people didn't move on and he didn't get his move either. So he's now been pulled back into the squad as part of the 23-man squad. So I think Brendan saw a bit of a change in attitude from what he'd said once he realised that he hadn't got his move, and maybe this is the season that he's just going to get his head down.
He does like the attitude off the field, doesn't he, Brendan? And that makes a lot of decisions on his squad. Has Brankovic, do you think, still got a future with us, or is it another Kaputska?
Yeah, I think unless I don't wish any more injuries on us, but unless we get injuries, I can't see him starting enough games to show the manager what he's got. I think I don't know what he's got left on his contract, but I'd be very surprised if he was here next season and probably even in January, because I think we were looking at getting another one in as well. But these are the games where hi Scott. These are the games where if he is going to get a chance, he's got to show his worth. We talk about football being a short career. You've got to take every opportunity.
Yes, and it will be, like you say, it will be interesting to see if he's given his chance. And this is the other problem, of course, is if he's not being given a chance, how can he take his chance?
Exactly.
I mean?
And exactly.
It's very, very odd. I feel a bit for him, to be honest with you, because, but then again, like I say, it was his, I can see it's almost like a Kaputska part two, to be honest with you. Craig, a serious and very insightful question here that I need to, in fact, ask you on behalf of Andrew Medhurst. Are you a chocolate hobnob fan? Do you like a hobnob every now and again?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. It's the biscuit of the gods, to put no finer point on it. A chocolate hobnob and a large cup.
Yes, it is. That sounds like a 70s porn film.
Well, to be fair, Chris, I think most things I say come across as a 70s porn film to you. But the chocolate hobnob and a cuppa is a risk and reward, because it's high risk. If you leave it in there too long, then it's dropping to the bottom of that cup and it's like a sludge pit. So you've got to get it in and you've got to get it out at just the right moment.
I'm not responding to that.
So
I'll say is Peter Kay, he did say that hobnobs are like the sergeant major of the biscuit world, is that when they go, but they do take a lot to go. Where if you've got a rich tea, if you put that one in and it gets a little bit wet, it just wilts and drops away, doesn't it?
Yeah, as I said, at left back.
Well, let's go right back first, because I'm going to be, I think that's probably a bit more easy to. Who are we going to have? Are we going to go with, I think it's going to be Castagna or Piera, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. I think looking at the rest of that back three, I think it would be a little bit too much to play Daly Campbell. So I think if it was me,
good, because he's not on my list there, so I can't put it.
He's definitely not playing. I think I would be going with Pereira, because if you're playing wing backs, you've got to want them to get forward, and Pereira gets forward with a little bit more conviction than Castagna, I would say.
And he's had a couple of games out now, so hopefully, he's got over his knock. Now then, this is going to be interesting. Left back.
I think this is where Luke Thomas will come back in. I don't think he really let anybody down when he's played. And he is a talent, and I think he needs to be nurtured, so he does need to keep getting some regular pitch time.
I've got to be honest with you. I didn't think you were going to go with him because of the Ben Chilwell at Millwall situation. But I agree totally. He he's done nothing wrong. And Ryan Bertrand, he was taken off, I think, to sort of have a rest and what have you in the last game. So, you know, I agree totally. Luke Thomas there. We're doing well. We're agreeing a lot tonight.
Even we are.
Maybe not agreeing over, you know, your hobnobs and your cup, but we're agreeing over everything else. And Andrew says here he's quite partial to dunking a bourbon.
I'm quite partial to downing a bourbon, but that's a different thing.
Oh yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Nothing wrong. Nothing wrong with that, is there? Nothing wrong with that at all. Right. Let's go centre mid, the holding midfield position there. Now then, this is going to cause, because I don't think we should start with Ndidi.
No, it's a tricky one for me. I always like Ndidi in there. I think he's better than everybody else. I would put in Samare, but I know that Brendan seems to want him to be more of a box-to-box midfielder, and then this is almost going against that, asking him to be the holding midfielder. But I think because of the physicality that is required in there, I would be putting Samare in there.
Or what about Hamza Chowdhury?
Yeah, I mean, it's a fair shout.
No, I know he's not my favourite player, as you know. Not that he's got a red card in it, a little bit like Ndidi at the moment, to be honest with you. But he's got that physicality, like you say, that, you know, you won't be intimidated. And he is more of a natural defensive midfielder. Or do you feel, with having the five possibly at the back, that we can get away with Samari?
I would hope so, to be honest. And I think my only worry with Chowdhury, I do like him, and he covers the ground much better than anyone else other than Ndidi. You know, he's much more athletic. Mm. I'm just thinking, in that environment, I would imagine Gary Rowett, if he saw the name Chowdhury on the team sheet, he would be get at him, try and get him riled up. The crowd would get on him. That's what I'd be doing as an opposition manager. Can we get him in the book early? Because then half of his game's gone. So in many ways, if you weren't going to play that, you could probably play Mendy. But it's probably a little bit dangerous.
He's not in the squad, is he? He's not. We can't play him till January, can we?
Mendy? I thought he could play in the Carabao Cup, to be honest. I thought that was a separate squad. But
I didn't think he could. But you know,
let's go
with Samari. Nippon, good evening, sir. How the devil are you? What about Mendy? As Scott says there, I don't. Scott, go and get Google up and just see if he can play in tomorrow's game. I've just got the BBC one up here. Liverpool are winning 1-0, by the way.
Great news.
So are Brentford and Sheffield United. Oh, Southampton are losing to Sheffield United. Let's just have a look and see. It doesn't say that I can see about Mendy. It is an interesting one, especially because, as you know, I am a big Mendy fan. I would have Mendy over Chowdhury. It'd be interesting to see. I think obviously he's had to put Chowdhury into his full squad because of I think you've got to have so many homegrown players, haven't you?
Exactly.
And Chowdhury ticks that box, unfortunately.
Understanding was that he was out of every other competition because of the squads, but you don't have to. I think the Carabao Cup is outside of that. There doesn't have to be a designated squad, so he could play in it. That was my understanding, but I have been known
Andrew,
to be wrong.
Yeah, this could be interesting. KDH, Samare and Madders. We'll come on to that now. And Brookline, good evening, sir, all the way from the good old US of A. How the devil are you, sir? Let's go with the Wild Hungry midfield, Chowdhury, Dewsbury Hall, Samari. Well, let's have a look. What we're going to do on the left of midfield here?
For me, I think that's Dewsbury Hall.
Has he played on the left before? Or
he's predominantly left-footed. So
is he? Right.
Yeah.
Right. So I've only seen him. Team. I thought I'd only seen him on the right, to be honest with you, but if he is predominantly left-footed,
I think he is. I'm pretty sure he's predominantly left-footed, and
yes,
I think this is a perfect opportunity for him to get some game time and show what he's made of. I think he's chomping at the bit. Mm-hmm. He's come out pre-season and said this is a big season for him. Brendan's come out and said it's a big season for him, so he has to throw him in and trust him.
Yeah, my only worry with that is you've got two youngsters on the same side there, Dewsbury Hall and Thomas. I don't imagine either of them should be overawed. I mean, let's be honest with you, Thomas has played in the Europa League, he scored in the Europa League. We know from when he told Jamie Vardy to get out of the way so he could score his man. He's not short of confidence. And Dewsbury Hall has had a full season playing in the Championship, which again, it's not an easy league, that, let's be honest.
No, he will have come up against Millwall twice last season, so he'll know what that's all about.
Yeah. Charlie, good evening, Charlie. Not seen you, first-timer. How are you? How the devil are you? Thanks for joining us. No one should start if they're in contention for the first team on Saturday. We don't need any more injuries. It's a fair point because we know that Millwall are going to be an aggressive team. Terry says here, no squads. The lower league teams don't have a Premiership squad, if you get my point. Also, maybe Mendy can. Maybe Mendy can be in there. But we'll go with Samari because, again, I think he needs, game time as well. Now then. Who are we going to put on the right?
I mean, again,
Can I just say, Perez is back in contention. He's back for this game. don't let that influence you at all.
You could easily play Mendy in there as well and give Samari a bit more of a freer role to go forward. But for me, I would be very surprised if Tielemans is not in this team.
Right. Do you know what I like about Tielemans?
Are you going to mention that he's a bit like a quarterback?
I was, funny enough. Yes, I do. He does give me that feeling when he plays. Do you not think he's maybe looking a little bit jaded? No, don't get me wrong. It was a fantastic ball in for Vardy to score against Brighton. But, I think he's played in every game so far.
Yeah, I think you could make a strong argument for having him on the bench as well and bringing him on if needed. I just think Brendan trusts him to carry out his game plan on the pitch, to be honest, that he's his go-to guy. You very often see Tielemans, talking to other players, taking them to one side, telling them to do this, that and the other. There are other options. I'd never put Perez into a midfield three. So for me, the only other person who could go in there would be Mendy. So you've got some extra legs, allowing, as I say, Samari and Dewsbury Hall to play a little bit further forward. But I've got a feeling that he'll play Tielemans.
It is, when you look at the team, it is. You're struggling for sort of experienced players, although you could argue Vestergaard, he has missed out with us, and Samari as well. But there's an argument, put Tielemans on, get to 60 minutes, hopefully maybe a goal two up, and then at that point rest him. Now, Scott here has just thrown the cat among the pigeons. Hi, Chris, just looked it up, and what I'm led to believe, Mendy can't play due to not being named as a player that will play within the league. I.e. not in the 25-man Premier League squad, not playing the league. So who knows? We've not picked him anyway. So, I do feel really, really sorry for him. And I was hoping, there's rumours about him leaving, but I like Mendy and I think he's a good backup. But then, you could argue that we've got Samari now, but it's one of those. I have a feeling, and I enjoyed it, but I have a feeling that I might know who you might go up for up front. One of those, surely, in fairness, has got to be Iheanacho, hasn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I mean, he's played well when he's come on. He's taken his chances when he's come on. He's not gotten the score sheet, but you know, he looks hungry. You know, and he looks like he's got a point to prove, that he feels he should be playing. And you know, for me, this is an ideal game for him, and I think he'll start.
Yeah. And Daka, are you going with Daka next to him?
I think so. I think particularly, you know, you can see this being a typical sort of Leicester away at a lower league team, that we almost allow them to come on to us. And as much as we try and protect the ball, if they're in at us, you know, if they're getting in amongst us, then they're going to turn the ball over. So yes. I think the ability to hit them on the break is going to be really important. And it's a great game for Daka, I think.
Looking at that, so that's the team you've gone for. Ward in goal. Piera, Amati, Vestergaard, Benkovic, Thomas across the back. And obviously with playing the wing backs. Tielemans, Samari, Dewsbury Hall across the centre. And Iheanacho, Daka up front. So that's who you've gone for. And I must admit here, I actually agree with you on most of them.
You were never going to agree, Toby.
Chris, you could do a listen along. You listen to Radio Leicester and tell those that can't get it, tell them what's happening. Yep, you can also get it on lcfc.com/radio as well if you're outside the thing. The only problem you've got with that, Terry, is that for me to be able to hear it, I would have to have, obviously, it's got to be on volume. And then if it's picked up on YouTube, I'm in trouble for broadcasting it. Brooke, but I do like your thinking. Brookline says we lose two of every three games without Perez. Well, talking of Perez, as I look at this, there's a couple of players I'm going to change, and I'm not going to bring Perez in. You're all right. I'm going to put Castagna at the back there. I know totally what you're saying about Vieira, but I just think if he has got that knocky, if he is carrying a little knock, you know, if he aggravates it again, because we know Millwall, like I say, are going to be, the crowd are going to be up for this, especially after the last game. And the players, if they get on the back of that, you know, we could be the walking wounded. And I must admit, I agree again totally what you say about Tielemans. But I'm going to start with Luckman, because I think he has looked, no pun intended. Give him a start. He's not had a start yet. He's looked good when he's come on. He completely changed the game, I think, against Brighton when he came on. And I just think he deserves the thing. Apart from that, I do agree with you.
Yeah, I think it'd be interesting. I'm not sure Luckman could play in a three. I'm not sure he's got the discipline to do that. But who knows? Sometimes you're surprised by players when they're thrown in and asked to do a job.
I mean, I wouldn't risk him, let's say, in that position against the Liverpool or a Chelsea. But I just think it's just going to give him some game time. And if it's not working out, then you got the options on. Because I think, is it five subs again that you're allowed in this? I think it was last season, wasn't it?
I would think so.
Yeah. Andrew says here, thank you very much for this, Andrew. I've got the face for radio. I wouldn't argue with you there, sir. I've got the face for a really good podcast. Score prediction. Let's leave on this one, Craig, with you. What are you going to go for? Because we don't do the league with the ex players, and we don't do the longball.net predictions for this either. I didn't have a very good weekend, so I'm glossing over the longball.net.
Well, I can tell you something, Chris. I forgot to put my scores in, so you did much better than I did.
Did you not get a reminder?
I might have done, but I didn't see it. Oh. Nobody came and tapped me on the shoulder. So,
oh, what you like, what you like. Okay. Oh, I feel a bit better now, then at least I'm still ahead of you. If I finish ahead of you, I've done well, sir. I've done well. Right, let's move this out. Score lines. So, what are you going to go for? I'll come to you first.
I'm going to go for us to win 2-1.
We did say we agreed a lot, didn't we?
You're going to go for that as well, Chris, aren't you?
I have, yes, because I always think, if you notice, you see a lot of my score lines recently, or even sort of last season, I always think within Leicester, we've got the fact that we can let a goal in within the makeup of the team. Yeah. Or we go a goal behind. And I don't think this will be any different. And I think that will get them up, you know, up and at us. So, yeah, I think it's going to be 2-1 as well. So we are ending with an
agreement. Concur. Yeah.
We concur. Indeed we do. Charlie says, play Mads. If he doesn't perform tomorrow, he should be nowhere near the pitch on Saturday. I'm sorry. I think, for me, there's something that he's just not happy with. Whether, you know, you could argue whether he had his head turned with the Arsenal talk, although there was no official offer in, so it shouldn't have been. There's something that's just not clicking with him at the moment. And it can happen when you've been out for a while. You know, Barnes has started to pick up now, but first couple of games, he wasn't all there. And I just think, I'm scared that Maddison's going to become one of those players that we know he's got it within him to get like the goal against Man City in the 5-2. We know he can be a game changer if he comes on. I'm just worried that he's going to end up becoming that luxury player.
We know he's become a dad over the summer. You know, whether all of this is playing on it a little bit, I don't know whether his focus has gone a little bit. What you don't want him to become is the new Ross Barkley, you know, who had all of this talent and very early on looked like he was going to be a world beater, and then he's just allowed it to drift away from him. And I hope that doesn't happen to Maddison, because, you know, we love him. We heard him when he's on his game, he's fantastic. And then he speaks so well afterwards. You know, he looks like he's a real student of the game. And I think it would be harsh to think that he's not suffering too and he's not happy with his own performances. I think he'll come back. He just needs to, again, a bit like Soyuncu, get back to basics, yes. Just get on the ball more and work hard, and it'll come back.
I mean, what I love about Brendan Rodgers is he doesn't drop a player just because he's had one bad game.
No.
You know, and we saw that, you know, with Soyuncu, that I said, oh, I think he should be maybe given a break. He didn't. He played him. He moved him over to the right-hand side. And you made a very, very valid point that's probably been good for him, because he's had to go back to just, you know, doing the basics, if you like. And like you say, there's a lot going on Maddison's head. Tielemans is a different kind of player, because, you know, he's been at the links as well. He's got the contract there that he didn't have signed, but he just seems that bit more mature, if you like. And I think you just need to maybe just say to Maddison, you know, just take a couple of games out, you know, get your head right, get time in on the training field, and then come back a bit better, you know. Scott says here that I've been brave changing Craig's players in that formation. I just it's only because he's in a completely different city to me. It's just basically, like I say, I wouldn't say, certainly wouldn't put Luckman there if we were playing a top 4 or 5 in the Premier League. But I just think he could be. He's looked a Maddison type player when he's come on, that he can change the game, that he can do those things. So I just want to give him the chance to. Yeah. Andrew says here, Maddison seems to slow the play down. Brookline, when Maddison first joined, he was very ball dominant. But as Brendan moves to quicker passing, he looks uncomfortable. We've got to remember this as well, haven't we, Craig? Is that a lot of these players are only doing what they're being told to do.
That's it. And you know me, I've talked about it quite a lot, about in-game intelligence, being able to react to what's going on in the game rather than just follow the game plan. You know, so if you're being pressed high up the pitch and you're still trying to play out from the back, it makes no sense. You've got to be able to be brave enough and intelligent enough to react to what's going on the pitch.
That's why I was never a footballer. I'm neither of those two things.
Neither of those. But you would hope that this the modern footballer would be able to do that and would be brave enough to do it and stand up and say why he's doing it. But you never know.
You never know. Craig, it's been a pleasure as always, sir. My wise old owl. We will see this time tomorrow. We'll be nearly coming to the end of the first half, I think. So, fingers crossed. Let's hope it's not another Newport or even Millwall away. I have a feeling I don't know. It's like I say, I won't be sorry if it does go a little bit tits up, but I don't want to lose to a lower league team. That's the thing, because I just think our confidence at the moment isn't up there, and I just think it might just knock us a bit too far down.
Yeah, of course not. And I think Rowett has come out and said he's going to be making some changes as well, because I don't think he's particularly happy with the position they're in. So, and they can't afford to get dragged into I know it's early days, but can't get afford to get dragged into something. So I think he'll be making some changes too.
Yeah. I will see you again on Friday, sir.
Indeed, when we look forward to the footballing masterclass that Burnley will offer us.
Oh, Dan, if you're watching, I never said that. Although I don't think he will, because Burnley are actually at home tonight. So I think he's probably has nipped off to Turf Moor. Yeah. You know, I mean, Burnley have had a terrible start to the season. They've got 1 point. They're one off the foot of the bottom. You know we're going to lose. Craig, I'll let you go, mate. Thank you so much for coming on. As always, your knowledge is invaluable. Thank you so much, and take care, and come on the Foxes tomorrow night.
Yeah, cheers. Thanks, Chris. Thanks, everyone. Thanks, good
night. Take care. Bye-bye. So thanks to Craig there. Like I say, my wise old owl, he brings the if not the good looks, he certainly brings the knowledge and the extra experience and expertise. And I can see him in the green room. I think he means 1 minute. I think that's what he's trying to say to me. What's coming up this week? Well, we've got tomorrow night the match. It's a 7:45 kickoff down at the New Den, which is just a den, let's be honest with you. We've got the post-match show 10:15 afterwards. It may or may not be with Brad, so he may have me on my own ranting if that's the case. If we don't win, at least I haven't got VAR to rant about. So, guys, you'd be safe from that. On Thursday, it's a doubleheader. We've got the prediction show at 7 o'clock, when we're going to be joined this week by Charlie, a Man City fan. And for those of you that follow the quiz that we do, the Big Fat Football Quiz, he did Manchester City's representation there. Then 9 o'clock, nip over, change channels just for the one night. 9 o'clock on Thursday, nip over to the aforementioned Dan's channel, Turf Moor House TV. And I will be on there doing a preview show on the Burnley-Leicester game. And then back with Craig on the Friday at 7 o'clock. You got me every night, virtually. And then about 5:30 on Saturday, we've got the post-match with the opposition review next Monday. And I've gone to it. I'm so pleased that we've got this thing, because you may remember last season that we had Julian Watts, ex-footballer, played 38 games for us over a couple of seasons, and he also set up the ball that Claridge shinned in, shall we say, and that's using his words. He used to come on and do the post-match show with us, which he can't. He's struggling this season. So what we're going to be doing every Tuesday at 9 o'clock, we're going to have a show, X on the Pitch. Do you see what I did there? Oh, come on. That's clever. You're impressed, aren't you? Oh, well, I was. One of those, you know, when I came up with that, I thought, I like that. Tuesday's 9 o'clock, X on the pitch with Xbox Julian Watts, when we'll be just talking football generally. Put your questions in about the weekend games. We'll be looking back at those, any contentious decisions, Europe, if we played in Europe. It's going to be a really good show, and it'll be great because, as I say, we'll be able to get a ex-player's opinion. So that's not tonight. Don't be coming on tonight at 9 o'clock. We're going to be doing it next week, next Tuesday. Scott, Craig's gone, but you're saying here, just want your thoughts. To me, Madders not only seems to be looking lacking confidence, but seems to have lost his ideas and creativity. Beyond the 90, good evening. How the devil are you, sir? Get over to Beyond the 90. It's a great Leicester City channel. They do an awful lot. They've got a great, and I'm trying to start something up with on the ladies' team. I'm struggling, but Beyond the 90, you've got a good coverage of the ladies' team as well. Evening, Chris. Hope you're well. Do you think we can pick up our form? KDH deserves a chance, Neil. Yes, Neil, we discussed that earlier. We've got KDH in our team. He's hungry. He looked hungry pre-season. I think, well, both me and Craig, I think that he will be given his chance. You watch, we'll be totally wrong now. But you know what we're like for getting these things wrong. Anyway, let me get rid of that and say goodbye. Thank you for joining. Pick us up on YouTube, Leicester Till I Die TV. And if you want to listen back rather than watch back, don't forget, about 10, 15 minutes, it'll be up on podcast, Amazon, Spotify, Apple iTunes, Google Podcast Addict, and Anchor, to name just six. 7:45 tomorrow, it's only Millwall, it's only the Caribou Cup. What could go wrong? See you tomorrow.
Hello, Matt Elliott here. Be sure to watch Leicester Till I Die TV on YouTube and follow all their social media platforms for all the latest updates and news on Leicester City Football Club.
Thanks for watching Leicester Till I Die. This is Chris saying goodbye and see you next time.
Here. If you have any questions, suggestions, or feedback, head over right now to Twitter and Facebook and like, share, and get involved. Join us next time.